It looks like we'll have one more, and then we'll have this epistle covered pretty thoroughly, I believe. So glad to see each and every one of you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. It's just, you know, we're family, amen? We're going to have a whole eternity worshiping the Lord together, amen? Glory. Brother Donnie and his family's not here. It's Brother Donnie's birthday today. Let's wish him a happy birthday in the spirit, amen? And I pray that they're having a blessed time. We're going to read out of Colossians 4, 5, and 6. We're going to use 5 and 6 for our text. And we're going to be talking about pulling from these two verses about how you and I are to walk and to talk in and by wisdom. And when we leave here, I believe we're going to be very encouraged because in and from the scriptures, you and I are going to find out who we truly are and what we can do. Amen. The Word of God always brings a clear picture of how much God loves us, of the work that was started when you and I accepted Jesus, and then it shows us how we climb this ladder of sanctification, and every day we get to look in more and more like Jesus. Amen? So this book of Colossians, no, it's how to become a conqueror. That's what the theme of this book is. And so you and I, we are becoming conquerors. Amen? We have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Tony's here this morning. I ain't got to meet his wife yet. I don't know her name. Introduce your wife to us, Brother Tony. Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Nice to meet you. So glad that y'all are here this morning. Hallelujah. All right, so let's go to Colossians chapter 4 and let's read verses 5 and 6. When you're there, say amen. Colossians 4 and 5. The Word of God says, Paul writing by the unction of the Holy Spirit, he said, walk. Now mark that down. We're talking about walking and talking in wisdom. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech, let your talk, let your words, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer, how it's necessary that you answer every man, that you answer every person. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. 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 Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Once again, thank you for being here. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you, Brother Larry, for praying the prayer of faith with us this morning. So I want you this morning just to get down on the inside of you once again, be refreshed by the word of God, and recognize that you and I, that every question that we have, every circumstance that we deal with in life, that this word is the answer to those questions, to those struggles. And you don't just have the word that is on a page. You've got the Holy Spirit to lift up Jesus off the page and put it in your heart. Amen? Is that not exciting this morning? So we're going to look at some things, and I know that you know these things, but the Holy Spirit wants me to remind you of them so you'll just have them fresh in your mind, and you'll be in the place of being, as Peter said, I want to put you in remembrance. We'll stay in the place of remembrance of who we are, and we'll just walk and talk in victory. Amen. All right. So let's reread this verse number 5. Notice what the Apostle Paul said by the Spirit. He said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So let's look at the first part of that. Just walk. This word walk is a Greek word that figuratively it means to live your life following a companion, to live your life. In other words, you don't live your life in and of yourself, but you've got somebody that sticketh closer than a brother. You've got a dear friend. You're modeling your life. You're following. You're emulating. You're being directed by the Holy Spirit toward Jesus. And so you're letting Jesus be your dear companion. So hold your place here. We'll be back. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew and let's see where this same word is used in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4 about walking. He said, walk in this wisdom, but live your life looking toward Jesus. And so everything in Scripture, we have an example. And so Jesus is the living Word. He is our example. So let's start reading in verse 17. And you know these verses very well. We've ministered on them many times. But Matthew 4:17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, just be changed, to think differently. Aren't you glad that when you got born again, come on, you started thinking differently? Because you realized you weren't some old entity that was just going to be destroyed by the devil. You wasn't something that had no value or no worth. You were the worth, the value of the blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. And that Jesus was made sin, that you could be made righteous. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So that was his message. And so verse 18, look what happens. This is where the word is used. Remember, it said, walk in wisdom, redeeming the time. But in our text, but in verse 18, it says, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. Mark that down in your mind's eye, highlight it in your Bible, in your Bible app. Walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, and they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Aren't you glad that Jesus knows who you are and he knows where you're at? Isn't that exciting? The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the very sinless Lamb of God, God's own Son, he knows exactly where you're at and he knows what you're doing. And not only does he know where you're at and what you're doing, he wants to take what you're doing and he wants to use it for his glory. Isn't that exciting? So you and I, we can live our life if we choose to. God would allow us to do that. We can have free will. We can live our life the way we want to, and we can keep Jesus on the outside, or we can let him come on the inside, and he can make everyday life exciting, and he can give us an expectancy that it's not going to be just a life that's just living for the moment, but it's a seed for the eternal. Amen? That's what you and I are desiring, right? So notice what he said. He said he was walking by the Sea of Galilee. Now, every time you see the word Galilee in the Bible, just make a note. It means heathen circle. See, Jesus goes where the need's at. Aren't you glad that he met you where you were at? He met me in the deepest, darkest part of my sin, and then he shined light in me, and then he washed me in his own blood. Amen? And so he'll meet us where we're at. And so today, you and I were to walk the way Jesus walked. And that's not a command of being something that is difficult, that is out of the sphere of possibility. It is a command that says, God's going to give you through Jesus by the Holy Spirit the anointing to walk like Jesus. That means I can walk in Galilee area, in the heathen circle. I can walk in this world, in other words, but I'm not of this world. You're not of this world, because the greater one is in us, right? 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than that spirit that's in this world. So you and I, we can walk in this world and we can do it. We can follow the examples of Jesus and we can expect to do the works that he did and even greater, right? John 14:12. So this morning, you and I need to be in that place, in that position where we say, okay, as Paul's getting ready to finish this epistle by the Spirit of God, some of the last things he's giving to us is an instruction to make us understand the possibility of our walk. And so notice what happens here. Jesus says, I got a word for you. He says in verse 19, and he saith unto them, follow me. Now, we could say that this means to be in the way, the same way with Jesus, the same understanding. But it simply means just to take Jesus at his word and let the word determine what you can do or can't do. It means to be a disciple. Be disciplined in Jesus. Amen? I don't know about you, but the world, my flesh, the devil, he tries to tell me what I can do or can't do. Why would I want to listen to a fallen being? Why would I want to listen to something weak and beggarly when I can listen to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings? So he simply says, he says here, he said, follow me, be disciplined in my words, and look what he said, and I will make you fishers of men. So in other words, the things about your natural life, the things that you're doing in the natural, God wants to put a word in you. He wants to bring an anointing upon you where he can use you right where you're at, but expand your territory. Come on, he'll take your natural understanding, your natural tendencies. He'll put the anointing of the Holy Spirit by the Word of God in your life, and he'll show you how everything about life that you have learned in the past, it can be used for his glory. That means there's no mistakes. See, the devil wants you and I to look at things that's happened and say, well, boy, that was a big blunder. Guess what? God can use it. Amen? God can take those things that would stumble people without him, and they can make them stepping stones for you and I in him. Amen? So this morning, I want you to know that. All you've got to just hear by the Spirit of God and let God talk to you right where you're at. And when he meets you right where you're at, he's going to show you how you can say yes to him. And when you say yes to him, he does all the work. Hallelujah. He said, Jesus said, I'm the one that's going to do it. If you'll let me, I will do it. Do you want to be changed this morning? I want to be changed, don't you? I want to learn how to walk and talk in wisdom. I want to learn how to sit at the master's feet. And when we close up this message, you'll understand what I'm talking about. How we can redeem the time, how we can buy back, how we can have Jesus Christ to be our counselor. I don't know about you. I need a counselor. I need somebody that understands me, and I need somebody that understands what's happening in this world that will take me in it and through it, not just barely getting by, but an overcomer, more than a conqueror, victorious. Amen? Okay, notice what he said. He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And finally, verse 20, and straightway they left their nets and followed him. So they said, Lord, I'm going to be disciplined in your word. I'm going to follow you. So this morning, you and I, we don't have to stay where we're at. Now, some of you are dealing with some situations this morning. And just to be honest with you, it's going around and around the mountain. It's dealing with the same things over and over again. And you and I, we don't have to do that. We can come from going around the mountain. We can go on top of the mountain. We can meet with Jesus, and we can see the victory that we have in and through him. And we can just be delivered out of some things and have the peace and the success of God that was designated for us from that cross at Calvary. Amen. That's what I want, don't you? Well, it's ours. All right, so let's think about this just for a second. He said, I want you to walk this way. So in the scripture, I want you to think back over your life. Any time that God's ever asked you to do something, I want you to think about the peace that come in your heart. And I want you to think about, even though it might be hard to the natural man, how in your spirit it felt so right. It felt like that, hey, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know things are going to be okay. I want you to claim that this morning. Because all you're going to do is just let Jesus do the work. We take our hands off some things. Come on, a lot of times we take things to the altar and we lay them down, like the Bible says, you know, cast your burden upon the Lord. And that word cast, it means to literally to throw it down where it's impossible to pick it up again. But if we're not careful, we'll go back and we'll pick it up. No, let's let the Lord do it this morning. Let's really see some change in our life. It's for us. I believe that, don't you? Okay, so let's go back. Now notice what he said, back to Colossians. He said, I want you to walk in wisdom, and we'll talk about wisdom last, toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We'll hit that later. But look what he says in verse 6. Let your speech. So you've got to realize, I've got to realize, I own my speech. How many times have you heard somebody say something, they go, oh, the devil made me say that. Come on, we need to take responsibility. Now, the devil does, he loves to push buttons, and he's a tempter, and he'll do anything and everything he can, but I'm not going to give him power over my tongue. See, if I say the devil made me do it, then I'm saying the devil is greater than my Jesus. Come on, we got to cast that down. No, Jesus is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. Jesus said all power in heaven and earth had been given to him. That means the devil doesn't have that ability unless I what? I'm deceived and I give it to him. So he said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So let's talk about this speech just for a moment. Now, this word speech is a Greek word logos, and it's not just the words, but it's the thought and the intent behind the word. See, you and I, we can watch television and we can listen to politicians, and depending on where they're at, they try to say the right thing to the right people, but their heart is not with the people. Their words are just that. They're just words. Their thought and their intent is about themselves. It's not about the people who are in need or the people who they're even talking to. But this morning, you and I are in a place and a position where we can let our speech and our heart be one. See, the Bible says, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter, you need to do a meditation and prayer time this week on Matthew chapter 12. It's at least from verses 34 through 37. And just let the Spirit of God talk to you, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? But Jesus wants us to show us that our words, he talks about idle words. And that word idle is from the Greek, which means unemployed. See, our words are either employed by the Holy Spirit or they're nothing. They're worthless. They're useless. So he said, let your speech. So I need to own my speech and I need to own my thoughts. Now, right now, there's a battle going on inside this church, and I know that you know it, where the devil's trying to put thoughts in people's hearts. He's trying to bring division because we're so close to bringing in those who are on the outside. We're so close to reaching those people we've been praying for and we've been believing for, and the devil wants to stop that. But come on, he's not greater than our Jesus, amen? He's not greater than our Lord. And so we've got to hold on to that truth and that reality. Now, he said, let your speech be always, at all times. So he's not just talking about speech, he's talking about our thoughts. So hold your place here and go to Matthew chapter 5. Now, I don't have time, I wish I did, to get into the whole thought of this fifth chapter. But this fifth chapter will bless you. It's part of Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. It's some of the greatest teaching that you and I can live by. But he's talking about how you can be successful with your brothers and sisters, how I can be successful with my brothers and sisters. And it shows us how to let his word just flow in us and through us to help us to climb the ladder. But drop down to verse 37. Matthew 5:37, out of the mouth of Jesus, he said, but let your communication, logos, let your speech and the thought, the intent behind your speech, let it be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil. So you and I need to be in a place and a position where we need to realize that sometimes we can say too much. And it's hard. Isn't it? Sometimes, you know, sometimes I literally got to say, Lord, you got to help me, you know, because I want to say this, but I know that that's not of you. That's not of your best. That's not of your will and your plan. So you help me. So sometimes, though, you and I, we're in a place and a position where we don't want to offend people. But and we talk about Jesus and all these things. But Jesus offended people. Offended them in a good way. Because see, the truth, unless we hear it and it offends us, we won't dive into the truth. We won't apply the Word of God. We won't let the love of God start coming abroad in our heart. See, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 that you and I are to speak the truth in love that we may grow up under the head, grow up under Jesus. So sometimes we're going to be offended. But Jesus, he even made that statement. He said, offenses are going to come. But you and I have got to recognize where the offense is from. Is it from the devil? Or am I being offended because I'm being challenged? And so if I'm being challenged, that's a good thing. Amen? Because God wants to help us. But he said, let your communication be. Let your words and your thoughts be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Now, I challenge you this week, just try it. Just try the Lord and see if he won't pour out a blessing on you which you cannot contain. There is little words that you and I say if we're not careful. Our heart is not with those words. We're just motivated to say them because we're in an awkward situation or because things that we have dealt with before, we just talk out of the past. In other words, we talk out of our experience. Well, God wants to give us new experiences. He wants to give us experiences of victory. Oh, come on now, I'm losing you. Stay with me. God loves you this morning. He wants to help you. He wants to help me. I'm not preaching against you. I'm preaching for you. Amen, because I'm preaching for myself. Our speech will determine. We'll never go any higher than our speech level. Amen. And our speech reveals our faith. That's why we can't go any higher than what we're saying. And so we need to come back. And I say, he said that let our speech be always, at all times, be seasoned with grace. Let's talk about that. Seasoned with grace. Your speech, my speech, that word seasoned, it means to be prepared. Now, if you're going to prepare a meal, you go and you make sure you've got all everything you need for that meal. You've got the supplies, and then you got the spices, and you got everything that it takes to put in that for it to be what it was designed to be. Well, you're a child of God. The Bible says that you're a vessel unto honor. Come on, say I'm a vessel unto honor. And so a vessel unto honor is one that says what God would have you to say when he would have you to say it. Amen. And so to be prepared simply means it's not that I study myself to death. It's just that I'm fellowshipping with the Lord by his Spirit. That's it. See, the devil wants you and I to get in a work mentality. Aren't you? Now, thank God that we do things for the Lord, that we are children that serve, but we're not servants. We're children of the Most High God. But he doesn't want you to be in a work mentality. He wants you to be in this mentality that you are fellowshipping with him. Amen. And so when he says, let your speech be always, at all times, seasoned, let it be prepared with grace. That simply means that when you wake up, when you go to bed, that if the Spirit of God wants to say something to your heart, that you're willing to hear him. And if you're willing to hear him, and you are, that means that you're in the place of preparation. Come on, that takes the pressure off of you and I, and that puts us in the place of sure success. The enemy doesn't want you and I to know that we can walk in success, that we can live in success. He wants us to always be trying. Oh, someday I'll be an overcomer. No, you're an overcomer right now. Someday I'll be righteous. No, you're righteous right now. Someday I'll have the... No, you've got victory right now. Amen. You are who God designated you, designed you to be, because you're born again. You're washed in the blood. Amen. All right. So he said, let your speech be... Let's go back. Let your speech be always... with grace, seasoned, prepared with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So I need to see. My speech needs to be prepared by grace, not by works, but by grace. Well, John 1:17 tells us that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth come by... Yes, sir, brother, come by Jesus. So my speech... Your speech can be prepared by Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I listen and then I speak. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. So Jesus, before his day ever started, in his heart, because just simply fellowship, his heart was prepared and he said what God the Father wanted him to say. Come on, that's a place for you to shout. This isn't a wait. This is a victory. This is a freedom. The Spirit of God is telling us by the Word of God that you don't have to store up all of these prayers. You don't have to store up all of these words, because the Holy Spirit is what helps you hide the Word in your heart. The Holy Spirit is what brings out of your heart the abundance where you can say what God would want you to say. See, we've got to keep our focus on the Holy Spirit, because when we put our focus on the Holy Spirit, he only lifts up Jesus. And Jesus is the Word. And so you and I can always have the word flowing in us and through us. And that's how we become a conqueror. Let your speech be always, at all times, seasoned, prepared with grace. Let's look what that grace will do. We're in the book of Colossians. Turn to, hold your place there. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Look what Paul says about the power of this grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He said, let no corrupt, and the word is worthless. Remember where Jesus talks about the fruit? And it, you know, we don't want rotten fruit. We don't want worthless fruit. And we don't have that because he's our source. Let no corrupt, no worthless fruit, communication, proceed out of your mouth. There's that word communication, logos. The word, but the thought and the intent behind it. So I don't want my words and my thoughts to be separated. I want them to be bound together by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we're talking about not having a divided tongue. We're talking about having a tongue that James chapter 3 says that only God can tame. And when God tames our tongue, then he said, just like a little bridle can take a 1,000-pound horse and turn it anywhere it needs to go, that small helm, that small rudder on a big ship can take and turn that so many metric ton vessel anywhere it needs to go. God, by the Holy Spirit lifting up Jesus in your life and my life, can turn us anywhere we need to go. Come on, hallelujah. That means we're going higher. We're not going under. We're above and we're not beneath. We're the head and not the tail. We have the victory today. We are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, and it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. Jesus is making us fishers of men. He's making us into a place and a position where we can accomplish the will of God. We can reach the harvest before the sounding of the trumpet. Amen? Oh, we've got possibilities that are greater than we can even dream of. They can only be revealed, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Say, I'm a builder. Woo! You and I, we can build up other people by our words. Have you ever seen a time in your life where people are more discouraged? Come on, they're discouraged on every corner. Look at inflation. Look at what's happening at the grocery store, at the gas station. Look at what's happening to our house payments. Look to everything. I mean, inflation is on the rise and all of these things. And then we've got the wax of for the love of many is waxing cold, like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, because iniquity, lawlessness is abounding. Come on, there's no laws. Are you living where I'm living? Come on, we got people who can do whatever they want to do if they've got the money and they're in high positions and they can get away with it. You and I can't, but they can. There's lawlessness in the land, amen? And so we see all of those things happening, but you and I are in a place where the world can be falling apart around us, but come on, you and I can build. We can help people build upon the rock, on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. He said, let this speech come out that builds people. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Notice what happens, that it may minister grace, it may give grace to the hearers. People need grace. Paul said that the grace of God was sufficient. It's enough, in other words, from the Greek. So God's grace, which is so powerful, people need to hear about it. And you and I, we have the opportunity because our heart is the source of our speech and our heart has been renewed by the Word of God, that you and I, we can speak, we can build people up, not in denominations, not in doctrines, not in our wants or desires, but in the Word of God, grace, Jesus. He said that it may give grace to the hearers. Now, I want you to think about that. Matthew 10:8, Jesus said, freely you have received, freely. Woo! That means I can give whatever's needed. You can give whatever's needed. You have a word of wisdom. Don't talk out of your flesh. I can't talk out of my flesh. But let's talk out of our heart where the Holy Spirit's imparting to us. He's preparing us. Amen? Go James chapter 3, verse 13. James chapter 3. Let's be built up by the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Look what the Word says. It says, who is a wise man? And we're talking about walking in wisdom, talking in wisdom. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge? Who's someone who is letting the Word of God bring intelligence to their life? Who is a wise person endued with knowledge among you? Here's how you can tell. This is how you can be in the place and the position to know who to listen to, but also you know where you're at if you have something to give to somebody and say, I do. Say, I do. Let him show out of his good conversation. Anastrophe in the Greek, it's your conversation is your behavior, your everyday life. Let a person show out of their everyday life his works with meekness of wisdom. So you and I, we can live every day, our conversation, our natural, normal behavior can show people the truth. See, because there's going to be some people that you and I can never talk to. We may not have an audience one-on-one, but they may watch you do something at Walmart. They may watch you do something at the gas station, or you may be working something in your front yard and you got a neighbor that's looking over the fence or somebody that's driving by. Your natural conversation that has been influenced, that's been empowered because you're a natural being, but you are really a spiritual being, and your natural being is coming to control and direction of the Holy Spirit of your spirit being. You're walking in the spirit and not in the flesh, and you're showing people grace. So we've made everything so difficult. You know, the devil wants to tell us that we never know what to say or we never know what to do. And if I come in agreement with that, what have I done? I've put myself in a prison. That's right, brother. But we don't have bondage. We have been made free. You and I are in a place of victory and liberty. So out of your life, you need to expect words of wisdom to flow. You need to expect that you're going to walk and live circumspect, that you're going to, in other words, intelligently. And if you have an expectancy of that, then you're going to have a dependency to always look to Jesus through the Holy Spirit, this Word, and it's going to come. It's just natural. It's supernatural, actually, for the Holy Spirit just to flow in and through your life and to give you what you need when you need it. Amen. All right. Now, notice what we read there. He said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, because you and I, we need to redeem the time. We need to redeem the time. So out of your life and my life, we can walk in this wisdom, but we need to redeem. This word redeem means to buy back. It means to save from destruction. How many knows that the devil is trying to destroy this generation? Everything he can, he's trying to confuse them. He's trying to get them in all sorts of addictions. He's trying to get them to depend upon man to tell them who they are and what they can do. And guess what? It's encoded in their DNA. They are who they are because God put it in their DNA, and man can't change it. I don't care what they do to the outside. Man can't change what they are on the inside. Amen? And so, you and I need to be in a place and a position where we redeem this time. We buy back. We don't let the devil have this generation. We don't let the devil have our family. We don't let the devil have our neighbors. We don't let the devil have our coworkers, because we believe that God said we could buy back some things. This, he said, redeem in the time. Buy back the time. The time here, it's not chronos. Chronos in the Bible means look at your watch. Second by second, minute by minute. This is kairos. This right now, you and I are living in a kairos moment. This means a special set time anointed by God. You and I, we've been chosen to live in this last generation. Come on, the devil would have done killed you if he could have. Every one of you have been through trials and tribulations and all sorts of things. The devil tried to take you out, but you're sitting here in these last days because God's got something for you to do. Amen? And so we're going to redeem the time. So I want us to look and see how we can do that. In closing, go with me to the book of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. We won't take time to read all of this, but Jesus is talking to the church at Laodicea. And the church of Laodicea is the seventh church. I believe it's the last church age because it was a church that had become lukewarm. And we know that the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, said that there would be a great falling away before the coming of the Lord. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're seeing that. But that doesn't include you and I. Amen. We're not falling anywhere except in the arms of Jesus. Amen. We're holding on to our master. We're going to be like Mary. We're going to hold on to his feet, just like she did when he came up out of that tomb. We're going to hold on to him. But look here for sake of time, and look what Jesus says, starting in verse 17, Revelation 3:17. He said, here's a whole generation, a church generation, that is saying, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Now, that's where we're at. There so many people have sold out the gospel for to be comfortable. I want to be comfortable. I want to sit in the church that I want to go to. I want to hear the message that makes me feel good. Don't challenge me. Just give me enough of the word where I can be okay. Come on, it'll never work. It'll never work. Every time Jesus met somebody, he challenged them. He brought them up. He lifted them up out of a situation, out of a circumstance, and he brought them to a place and a position of purpose. As I was praying for you this morning, praying in the Spirit, and I don't know if it's going to come out as a message tonight. I don't know yet. But he kept saying, I want my people to see me like they never saw me before, because when they see me, they're going to see their position. And he said, if my people can find their position, they'll find their purpose. And when they find their purpose, they'll be my praise. See, the Bible says, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, that you are a chosen generation, that you're called to give praises to God. Well, you and I, to give the perfect praise to God, we got to find our purpose, and we got to be in our position to find our purpose. Amen? We'll talk about that. We'll see how it works out. I don't know, but I know the Lord has great truth. He's revealing to each one of you, and he's wanting to show you things that you've never dreamed of, and he's just waiting on you and I to say yes to him. And when we say yes, it's going to come. But notice here, Jesus says, he said that you say you're rich and you have need of nothing. He said, knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Every one of us in here, we've witnessed to people with all of our heart. We love them so much, and they cannot see where they're at. Come on, you've done that. You've tried to show them where they're at, because you could, then you would show them where Jesus wanted to take them, because Jesus always meets us where we're at to take us to that next place in him. And so here's a whole group of people. Now he's writing to a church. So this is how serious it is. And he said, you don't even know some things. So you and I, we've got to be in the place and the position where we're redeeming the time. You'll realize why we're coming to that point in just a moment. And redeeming the time, we need to buy back every lie, because this is the time of truth. We need to buy back every work of deceit, because this is the time of light. Amen. He said, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Come on, you and I, we need the salt. Jesus said that we were the salt of the earth. Amen. And he said, if the salt loses its savor. Somebody mark down Mark 9:50. And we'll we probably won't get to look at it, but Mark 9:50. Okay. Jesus says in verse 18, he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be what? Rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Jesus said, I want to be your counselor. Come on, there's people, they pay all kinds of money for man to counsel them. And that's okay, you know, but don't leave Jesus out. Jesus wants to be your counselor. He wants to be my counselor. And he said, if we would allow him to be our counselor, he would show us how to buy of him. We're talking about redeeming the time means to buy back. Buy of him gold tried in the fire. In other words, not fool's gold. Buying the real thing, amen? You and I, in other words, we can figure out what our life, our purpose is all about. You realize that people have lived and died and they missed their whole purpose? You know the story, P.T. Barnum of Barnum and Bailey Circus. The last thing he said as he was taking his dying breath, what were the gate receipts today? Do you think the moment that he took that last breath and he stepped on the other side that those gate receipts mattered? Not one bit. He wasn't buying gold. He was buying fool's gold. Come on, we're talking about helping people. Come on, you've got family. I've got family. They think that their life is about what they own or their standing in the community or all of these things. And that has nothing to do with anything. You and I, we need to counsel them. We need to show them. We need to redeem the time, show them how to buy from Jesus. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. I want the blessings of Jesus, don't you? This earth and everything in it is going to burn up. It's going to be tried by fire. But the things of Jesus are forever and ever and ever. That thou mayest be rich, oh, I love this, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness doeth not appear. He said, the only way this would happen, anoint thy eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Now, this word eye salve, I love it. It is a salve, a paste, an ointment, but it's made with unleavened bread. It's made with Jesus. When we put Jesus on our eyes, we can see things that we never saw before. Amen? I want to see the truth, don't you? He said it was the truth that made me. I want to know the truth. But he said, anoint thine eyes with thy salve that thou mayest see. See, you have to do it. I have to do it. He said, that's why I counsel thee. So I have to redeem the time. See, I got to make choices what I'm doing. Is what I'm doing, is it temporal? Is it carnal? Or is it spiritual? And is it eternal? Am I putting things on my eyes spiritually that helps me see God's will, God's plan, my role in that? Or am I limiting what God would do because I'm listening to something other than the truth of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God? He said in verse 19, as many as I love, does God love you this morning? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. Every time I open this word, it challenges me and it changes me if I would let it. Now, there's been times that I heard something and I just shut it up. I'm not ready for that. He knew I was because he doesn't give us anything. He doesn't give us a word out of season. He gives us a word in season. But I was just kicking against the pricks. So you and I got to be in the place where when he gives us a word, it's because he loves us. Yes. He loves us with an everlasting love, Jeremiah said. And Paul said that the love of God never fails. So his word, and because of the love that he has for us, will change us. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So I need to be in the place where I'm zealous. That word zealous means that I'm on fire. I have a hunger and desire for the things of the Lord. But see, the devil's really a master at causing you and I to become lukewarm. You know, have you ever noticed in a campfire, you know, as it starts burning, it burns so hot. But then as the fire burns, there'll be a stick of wood there, and the fire has burned away from that stick of wood. Everything else is burning and burning hot, but that stick of wood, it's just slowly turning black and it's losing its heat. But the moment that you stick it close to the fire, what happens? See, sisters, we got to stay close to Jesus. And if we'll stay close to Jesus, we're going to do what the Apostle Paul by the Spirit was talking about. We're going to learn how to walk and talk in the wisdom of the Lord. It'll redeem the time. It'll buy back the work and the plan of the enemy. It'll change everything. Amen? Okay, I want to close with this thought. I want you just to imagine this with me. On May 25th, 1961, May 25th, that's somebody's birthday in here. May 25th, 1961, President Kennedy, he gave a speech to the United States of America, and in that speech, he brought forth the ideal that before the end of the decade, that the United States of America would put a man on the moon. And so he kind of set that in the heart of everybody, and he said, I want you to know as a nation that when we put a man on the moon, it won't be just that man on the moon, but everybody in America at that time, about 180 million people will have a part in that. Amen? And so I want you to think about that. I'm going to turn this spiritual in just a moment. So let's fast forward to November 16th, 1963. President Kennedy, this is just a few weeks before his assassination, he's touring NASA. And he's seeing the progress that they're making in the space program, and all of a sudden, as they're going from one place within this big warehouse into another, he walks into this hallway, and here's a man. This man is just mopping away, and the president stopped and stuck out his hand, and he shook the man's hand, and he asked the man. He said, "So you work here at NASA?" And the man said, "Yes, I do." He said, "What do you do?" Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious. You know, he's got the mop in his hand, right? But he said, "What do you do?" And the man looked at President Kennedy right square in the eyes, and he said, "I'm putting a man on the moon. I'm putting a man on the moon." See, he heard the speech on May 25th, 1961. So you're not just living your life. You're not mowing the grass. You're not washing the dishes. Come on, you're not taking out the trash. Everything you're doing is for the Lord. The Bible says everything that you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. Amen? Over and over in the epistles. And so you and I, what we do, it's not we're working or we're not living under ourselves, but we're living for and unto the Lord. Amen? And so you got to see that Jesus said, when you hear my word, remember what he said, follow me and I will make. Come on. God is wanting to make you and I into our destiny. He's wanting to put us in the right position, as we talked about what the Spirit of God said, for our purpose. And it's available today. But you and I have got to what? We've got to let these distractions, we've got to let them be put under the feet of Jesus, and we've got to hold on to the word of God tighter than we ever have. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful group of people. I thank you for this time, this opportunity that we've had in your word. And Lord, I thank you for opposition. I thank you that spirit that is standing right over there, that's tried to hinder and hurt this service, has tried to stop this message, that he is a defeated foe, that Jesus is greater, that the Holy Spirit within the believer is greater. And so, Lord, right now, we yield to you, we trust you, we honor you, and I ask that whatever you have destined for every person in this service, help us to hear it with obedience. Help us to hear it with a yielded, willing, a heart that's on fire, that's zealous. Lord, let your counsel of the Holy Spirit come into every person's life. Let us see any fool gold in our life, and let us redeem this time. Let us buy back, and let us walk and talk in wisdom in everyday life. We'll be quick to praise you for it. We ask you in Jesus' name, let it be.